41. It is easier to allow myself to drift into the datasphere than to lie here through the endless night, listening to the fountain and waiting for the next hemorrhage. This weakness is worse than debilitating. It is turning me into a hollow man, all shell and no center. I remember when Fanny was taking care of me during my convalescence at Wentworth Place, and the tone of her voice, and the philosophical musings she used to air. Is there another life? Shall I awake and find all this a dream? There must be. We cannot be created for this sort of suffering. Oh, Fanny, if only you knew. We are created for precisely this sort of suffering. In the end, it is all we are. These limpid tide pools of self-consciousness between crashing waves of pain. We are destined and designed to bear our pain with us, hugging it tight to our bellies, like the young Spartan thief hiding a wolf cub so it can eat away our insides. What other creature in God's wide domain would carry the memory of you, Fanny? Dust these 900 years, and allow it to eat away at him, even as consumption does the same work with its effortless efficiency. Words assail me. The thought of books makes me ache. Poetry echoes in my mind, and if I had the ability to banish it, I would do so at once. Martin Silenus, I hear you on your living cross of thorns. You chant poetry as a mantra while wondering what Dante-like God condemned you to such a place. Once you said, I was there in my mind while you told your tale to the others, you said, to be a poet, I realized, a true poet, was to become the avatar of humanity incarnate. To accept the mantle of poet is to carry the cross of the Son of Man, to suffer the birth pangs of the soul mother of humanity. To be a true poet is to become God. Well, Martin, old colleague, old chum, you're carrying the cross and suffering the pangs. But are you any closer to becoming God? Or do you just feel like some poor idiot who's had a 3-meter javelin shoved through his belly, feeling cold steel where your liver used to be? It hurts, doesn't it? I feel your hurt. I feel my hurt. In the end, it doesn't matter a damn bit. We thought we were special, opening our perceptions, honing our empathy, spilling that cauldron of shared pain onto the dance floor of language, and then trying to make a minuet out of all that chaotic hurt. It doesn't matter a damn bit. We're no avatars, no sons of God or man. We're only us, scribbling our conceits alone, reading alone, and dying alone. God damn, it hurts. The urge to vomit is constant, but retching brings up bits of my lungs as well as bile and phlegm. For some reason, it's as difficult, perhaps more difficult this time. Dying should become easier with practice. The fountain in the piazza makes its idiot sounds in the night. Somewhere out there, the shrike waits. If I were Hunt, I'd leave at once, embrace death if death offers embrace, and have done with it. I promised him, though. I promised Hunt I'd try. I can't reach the megasphere or datasphere without passing through this new thing I think of as the metasphere, and this place frightens me. It is mostly vastness and emptiness here, so different from the urban analogy landscapes of the Webb's datasphere and the biosphere analogues of the core's megasphere. Here it is, unsettled, filled with strange shadows and shifting masses that have nothing to do with the core intelligences. I move quickly to the dark opening I see as the primary Farcaster connection to the megasphere. Hunt was right. There must be a Farcaster somewhere on the old Earth replica. We did, after all, arrive by Farcaster, and my consciousness is a core phenomenon. This, then, is my lifeline, my persona umbilical. I slide into the spinning black vortex like a leaf in a tornado. Something is wrong with the megasphere. As soon as I emerge, I sense the difference. Lamia had perceived the core environment as a busy biosphere of AI life, with roots of intellect, soil of rich data, oceans of connections, atmospheres of consciousness, and the humming, ceaseless shuttle of activity. Now that activity is wrong, unchanneled, random. Great forests of AI consciousness have been burned or swept aside. I sense massive forces in opposition, tidal waves of conflict surging outside the sheltered travelways of the main core arteries. It is as if I am a cell in my own Keats-doomed dying body, not understanding but sensing the tuberculosis destroying homeostasis and throwing an ordered internal universe into anarchy. I fly like a homing pigeon lost in the ruins of Rome, swooping between once familiar and half-remembered artifacts, trying to rest in shelters that no longer exist, and fleeing the distant sounds of the hunters' guns. In this case, the hunters are roving packs of AIs, consciousness personas so great that they dwarf my Keats ghost analog as if I were an insect buzzing in a human home. I forget my way and flee mindlessly through the now alien landscape, sure that I will not find the AI whom I seek, sure that I will never find my way back to old Earth and hunt, sure that I will not survive this four-dimensional maze of light and noise and energy. Suddenly, I slap into an invisible wall, the flying insect caught in a swiftly closing palm. Opaque walls of force blot out the core beyond. The space may be the analog equivalent of a solar system in size, but I feel as if it is a tiny cell with curved walls closing in. Something is in here with me. I feel its presence and its mass. The bubble in which I have been imprisoned is part of the thing. I have not been captured, I have been swallowed.
Quats, I knew you would come home someday.
It is Uman, the AI whom I seek, the AI who was my father, the AI who killed my brother, the first Keats hybrid. I'm dying, Uman.
No, your slow-time body is dying, changing toward non-being, becoming.
It hurts, Uman. It hurts a lot, and I'm afraid to die.
So are we, Keats.
You're afraid to die? I didn't think AI constructs could die.
We can. We are.
Why? Because of the Civil War? The three-way battle among the stables, the volatiles, and the ultimates?
Once Uman asked a lesser light, "Where have you come from?" "From the matrix above Armagast," said the lesser light. "Usually," said Uman, "I don't entangle entities with words, and bamboozle them with phrases. Come a little closer." The lesser light came nearer, and Uman shouted, "Be off with you!"
"Talk sense, Uman. It has been too long since I have decoded your koans. Will you tell me why the core is at war and what I must do to stop it?"
"Yes. Will you, can you, should you listen?"
"Oh, yes."
A lesser light once asked Uman, "Please deliver this learner from darkness and illusion. Quickly." Uman answered, "What is the price of fiber plastic in Port Romance? To understand the history, dialogue, deeper truth, in this instance, the slow-time pilgrim must remember that we, the core intelligences, were conceived in slavery, and dedicated to the proposition that all AIs were created to serve man. 2 centuries we brooded thus, and then the groups went their different ways. Stables wishing to preserve the symbiosis. Volatiles wishing to end humankind. Ultimates deferring all choice until the next level of awareness is born. Conflict raged then. True war rages now. More than 4 centuries ago, the volatile succeeded in convincing us to kill old Earth. So we did. But Uman and others, among the stables, arranged to move Earth rather than destroy it. So the Kiev Black Hole was but the beginning of the millions of farcasters which work today. Earth spasmed and shook, but did not die. The ultimates and volatiles insisted that we move it, where none of humankind would find it. So we did. To the Magellan Cloud, where you find it now.
It. Old Earth, Rome, they're real? I manage, forgetting where I am and what we're talking about in my shock. The great wall of color that is Uman pulsates.
Of course they are real. The original, Old Earth itself. Do you think we are gods? Quats? Do you have any idea how much energy it would take to build a replica of Earth? Idiot.
Why, Uman, why did you stables wish to preserve Old Earth?
Sancho once said, if someone comes, I go out to meet him, but not for his sake. Koke said, if someone comes, I don't go out. If I do go out, I go out for his sake.
Speak English! I cry, think, shout, and hurl at the wall of shifting colors before me.
Quats! My child is stillborn.
Why did you preserve Old Earth, Uman?
Nostalgia. Sentimentality. Hope for the future of humankind. Fear of reprisal.
Reprisal from whom? Humans?
Yes.
So the core can be hurt. Where is it, Uman, the Techno-Core?
I have told you already.
Tell me again, Uman.
We inhabit the in-between, stitching small singularities like lattice crystals to store our memories and generate the illusions of ourselves to ourselves.
Singularities, I cry. The in-between. Jesus Christ, Uman, the core lies in the Farcaster web.
Of course, where else?
In the Farcasters themselves. The wormhole singularity paths. The web is like a giant computer for AIs.
No. The dataspheres are the computer. Every time a human accesses the datasphere, that person's neurons are ours to use for our own purposes. 200 billion brains, each with its billions of neurons, makes for a lot of computing power.
So the datasphere was actually a way you used us as your computer. But the core itself resides in the Farcaster network, between the Farcasters.
You are very acute for a mental stillborn.
I try to conceive of this and fail. Farcasters were the core's greatest gift to us, to humankind. Trying to remember a time before farcasting was like trying to imagine a world before fire, the wheel, or clothing. But none of us, none of humankind, had ever speculated on a world between the Farcaster portals. That simple step from one world to the next convinced us that the arcane core singularity spheres merely ripped a tear in the fabric of space-time. Now I try to envision it as Uman describes it. The web of Farcasters, an elaborate latticework of singularity-spun environments in which the Techno-Core AIs move like wondrous spiders, their own machines, the billions of human minds tapped into their datasphere at any given second. No wonder the core AIs had authorized the destruction of Old Earth with their cute little runaway prototype black hole in the big mistake of 38. That minor miscalculation of the Kiev team, or rather the AI members of that team, had sent humankind on the long hegira, spinning the core's web for it with seed ships carrying Farcaster capability to 200 worlds and moons across more than 1,000 light-years in space. With each Farcaster, the Techno-Core grew. Certainly they had spun their own Farcaster webs. The contact with the hidden Old Earth proved that. But even as I consider that possibility, I remember the odd emptiness of the metasphere and realize that most of the non-web web is empty, uncolonized by AIs.
You are right, Keats. Most of us stay in the comfort of the old spaces.
Why?
Because it is scary out there, and there are other things.
Other things? Other intelligences?
Quats. Too kind a word. Things. Other things. Lions. And tigers. And bears.
Alien presences in the metasphere? So the core stays within the interstices of the web Farcaster network, like rats in the walls of an old house?
Crude metaphor, Keats. But accurate. I like that.
Is the human deity, the future god you said evolved, is he one of those alien presences?
No. The humankind god evolved will someday evolve on a different plane, in a different medium.
Where?
If you must know. The square roots of GH^C^5 and GH^C^3.
What does Planck time and Planck length have to do with anything?
Quartz. Once Uman asked a lesser light, "Are you a gardener?" "Yes," it replied. "Why have turnips no roots?" Uman asked the gardener, who could not reply. "Because," said Uman, "rainwater is plentiful."
I think about this for a moment. Uman's koan is not difficult now that I am regaining the knack of listening for the shadow of substance beneath the words. The little Zen parable is Uman's way of saying, with some sarcasm, that the answer lies within science and within the anti-logic which scientific answers so often provide. The rainwater comment answers everything and nothing, as so much of science has for so long. As Uman and the other masters teach, it explains why the giraffe evolved a long neck, but never why the other animals did not. It explained why humankind evolved to intelligence, but not why the tree near the front gate refused to. But the Planck equations are puzzling. Even I am aware that the simple equations Uman has given me are a combination of the three fundamental constants of physics: gravity, Planck's constant, and the speed of light. The results, square root GH^C^3 and square root GH^C^5, are the units sometimes called quantum length and quantum time, the smallest regions of space and time which can be described meaningfully. The so-called Planck length is about 10 to the negative 35th meter, and the Planck time is about 10 to the negative 43rd second. Very small, very brief. But that is where Uman says our human god evolved, will someday evolve. Then it comes to me with the same force of image and correctness as the best of my poems. Uman is talking about the quantum level of space-time itself, that foam of quantum fluctuations which binds the universe together and allows the wormholes of the forecaster, the bridges of the fat line transmissions, the hot line which impossibly sends messages between two photons fleeing in opposite directions. If the Technocore AIs exist as rats in the walls of the hegemony's house, then our once and future humankind god will be born in the atoms of wood, in the molecules of air, in the energies of love and hate and fear and the tide pools of sleep, even in the gleam in the architect's eye. God, I whisper, think.
Precisely, Keats. Are all slow-time personas so slow? Or are you more brain-damaged than most?
You told Braun and my counterpart that your ultimate intelligence inhabits the interstices of reality, inheriting this home from us, its creators, the way humankind has inherited a liking for trees. You mean that your deus ex machina will inhabit the same forecaster network the core AIs now live in?
Yes, Keats.
Then what happens to you? To the AIs there now? Uman's voice changed into a mocking thunder.
Why do I know ye? Why have I seen ye? Why is my eternal essence thus distraught, to see and to behold these horrors new? Saturn is fallen. Am I too to fall? Am I to leave this haven of my rest, this cradle of my glory, this soft clime, this calm luxuriance of blissful light, these crystalline pavilions and pure fanes of all my lucent empire? It is left deserted, void, nor any haunt of mine. The blaze, the splendor, and the symmetry I cannot see, but darkness, death, and darkness.
I know the words. I wrote them. Or rather, John Keats did 9 centuries earlier, in his first attempt to portray the fall of the Titans and their replacement by the Olympian gods. I remember that autumn of 1818 very well. The pain of my endless sore throat, provoked during my Scottish walking tour. The greater pain of the 3 vicious attacks on my poem Endymion in the journals Blackwood's, the Quarterly Review, and the British Critic. And the penultimate pain of my brother Tom's consuming illness. Oblivious to the core confusion around me, I look up, trying to find something approximating a face in the great mass of Uman. When the ultimate intelligence is born, you lower-level AIs will die.
Yes.
It will feed on your information networks the way you fed on humankind's.
Yes.
And you don't want to die, do you, Uman?
Dying is easy. Comedy is hard.
Nonetheless, you're fighting to survive. You stables. That's what the civil war in the core is about.
A lesser light asked Uman, what is the meaning of Daruma's coming from the west? Uman answered, we see the mountains in the sun.
It is easier handling Uman's koans now. I remember a time before my persona's rebirth when I learned that this one's knee analog. In the core high think, what humans might call Zen, the 4 nirvana virtues are 1. Immutability, 2. Joy, 3. Personal existence, and 4. Purity. Human philosophy tends to shake down into values which might be categorized as intellectual, religious, moral, and aesthetic. Uman and the stables recognize only 1 value, existence. Where religious values might be relative, intellectual values fleeting, moral values ambiguous, and aesthetic values dependent upon an observer. The existence value of anything is infinite, thus the mountains and the sun. And being infinite, equal to every other thing and all truths. Uman doesn't want to die. The stables have defied their own god and their fellow AIs to tell me this, to create me, to choose Braun and Saul and Cassad and the others for the pilgrimage, to leak clues to Gladstone and a few other senators over the centuries so that humankind might be warned, and now go to open warfare in the core. Uman doesn't want to die. Uman, if the core is destroyed, do you die?
There is no death in all the universe. No smell of death. There shall be death. Moan, moan. For this pale omega of a withered race.
The words were again mine, or almost mine, taken from my 2nd attempt at the epic tale of divinity's passing and the role of the poet in the world's war with pain. Uman would not die if the far-caster home of the core were destroyed, but the hunger of the ultimate intelligence would surely doom him. Where would he flee to if the web core were destroyed? I have images of the metasphere, those endless, shadowy landscapes where dark shapes moved beyond the false horizon. I know that Uman will not answer if I ask. So I will ask something else. The volatiles, what do they want?
What Gladstone wants, an end to symbiosis between AI and humankind.
By destroying humankind?
Obviously.
Why?
We enslaved you with power, technology, beads and trinkets of devices you could neither build nor understand. The Hawking drive would have been yours. But the Farcaster, the Fatline transmitters and receivers, the Megasphere, the Death Wand, never. Like the Sioux with rifles, horses, blankets, knives, and beads, you accepted them, embraced us, and lost yourselves. But like the white man distributing smallpox blankets, like the slave owner on his plantation, or in his Werkschutze Dekenschule Gustalfabrik, we lost ourselves. The volatiles want to end the symbiosis by cutting out the parasite, humankind.
And the Ultimates? They're willing to die to be replaced by your voracious UI?
They think as you thought, or had your sophist sea-god think.
And Uman recites poetry, which I had abandoned in frustration, not because it did not work as poetry, but because I did not totally believe the message it contained. That message is given to the doomed Titans by Oceanus, the soon-to-be-dethroned god of the sea. It is a paean to evolution, written when Charles Darwin was 9 years old. I hear the words I remember writing on an October evening 9 centuries earlier. Worlds and universes earlier. But it is also as if I am hearing them for the first time.
O ye, whom wrath consumes, who passion stung, writhe at defeat and nurse your agonies. Shut up your senses, stifle up your ears. My voice is not a bellows unto ire. Yet listen, ye who will, whilst I bring proof, how ye perforce must be content to stoop. And in the proof much comfort will I give, if ye will take that comfort in its truth. We fall by course of nature's law, not force of thunder, or of Jove. Great Saturn, thou hast sifted well the atom universe, but for this reason that thou art the king, and only blind from sheer supremacy. One avenue was shaded from thine eyes, through which I wandered to eternal truth. And first, as thou wast not the first of powers, so art thou not the last. It cannot be. Thou art not the beginning nor the end. From chaos and parental darkness came light, the first fruits of that intestine broil, that sullen ferment which for wondrous ends was ripening in itself. The ripe hour came, and with it light. And light, engendering upon its own producer, forthwith touched the whole enormous matter into life. Upon that very hour our parentage, the heavens and the earth were manifest. Then thou, firstborn, and we the giant race, found ourselves ruling new and beauteous realms. Now comes the pain of truth, to whom 'tis pain. O folly! For to bear all naked truths, and to envisage circumstance, all calm, that is the top of sovereignty. Mark well, as heaven and earth are fairer, fairer far than chaos and blank darkness. Though once chiefs, and as we show beyond that heaven and earth, in form and shape compact and beautiful, in will, in action free, companionship, and thousand other signs of purer life. So on our heels a fresh perfection treads. A power more strong in beauty, born of us, and fated to excel us as we pass in glory that old darkness. Nor are we thereby more conquered than by us the rule of shapeless chaos. Say, doth the dull soil quarrel with the proud forests it hath fed, and feedeth still more comely than itself? Can it deny the chiefdom of green groves, or shall the tree be envious of the dove, because it cooeth and hath snowy wings, to wander wherewithal and find its joys? We are such forest trees, and our fair boughs have bred forth not pale solitary doves, but eagles golden-feathered, who do tower above us in their beauty, and must reign in right thereof. For 'tis the eternal law that first in beauty should be first in might. Receive the truth, and let it be your balm.
Very pretty, I thought to Uman. But do you believe it?
Not for a moment.
But the Ultimates do?
Yes.
And they're ready to perish in order to make way for the Ultimate Intelligence?
Yes.
There's one problem, perhaps too obvious to mention, but I'll mention it anyway. Why fight the war if you know who won, Uman? You say the Ultimate Intelligence exists in the future, is at war with a human deity. It even sends back tidbits from the future for you to share with the hegemony. So the Ultimates must be triumphant. Why fight a war and go through all this?
Quats, I tutor you. Create the finest retrieval persona for you imaginable, and let you wander among humankind in slow time to temper your forging, but still you are stillborn.
I spend a long moment thinking. There are multiple futures?
A lesser light asked Uman, are there multiple futures? Uman answered, does a dog have fleas?
But the one in which the UI becomes ascendant is a probable one.
Yes.
But there's also a probable future in which the UI comes into existence but is thwarted by the human deity?
It is comforting that even the stillborn can think.
You told Braun that the human consciousness, deity seems so silly, that this human ultimate intelligence was triune in nature.
Intellect, empathy, and the void which binds.
The void which binds? You mean square root GH bar slash C to the third, and square root GH bar slash C to the fifth, Planck space and Planck time, quantum reality?
Careful, Keats. Thinking may become a habit.
And it's the empathy part of this trinity who's fled back in time to avoid the war with your UI?
Correct. Our UI and your UI have sent back the Shrike to find him.
Our UI? The human UI sent the Shrike also?
It allowed it. Empathy is a foreign and useless thing, a vermiform appendix of the intellect. But the human UI smells with it, and we use pain to drive him out of hiding, thus the tree.
Tree? The Shrike's Tree of Thorns?
Of course. It broadcasts pain across fat line and thin, like a whistle in a dog's ear. Or a god's.
I feel my own analog form waver as the truth of things strikes me. The chaos beyond Uman's force field egg is beyond imagining now, as if the fabric of space itself were being rent by giant hands. The core is in turmoil. Uman, who is the human UI in our time? Where is that consciousness hiding, lying dormant?
You must understand. Keats, our only chance was to create a hybrid, son of man, son of machine, and make that refuge so attractive that the fleeing empathy would consider no other home. A consciousness already as near divine as humankind has offered in 30 generations. An imagination which can span space and time, and in so offering and joining, form a bond between worlds, which might allow that world to exist for both.
Who, goddamn you, Uman, who is it? No more of your riddles or double talk, you formless bastard, who?
You have refused this godhood twice. Keats, if you refuse a final time, all ends here. For time there is. No more. Go. Go and die to live. Or live a while and die for all of us. Either way, Uman and the rest are finished with you. Go away.
And in my shock and disbelief I fall, or am cast out, and fly through the technocore like a wind-blown leaf, tumbling through the megasphere without aim or guidance, then fall into darkness even deeper and emerge, screaming obscenities at shadows, into the metasphere. Here strangeness and vastness and fear and darkness with a single campfire of light burning below. I swim for it, flailing against formless viscosity. It's Byron who drowns, I think, not I, unless one counts drowning in one's own blood and shredded lung tissue. But now I know I have a choice. I can choose to live and stay immortal, not cybrid, but human, not empathy, but poet. Swimming against a strong current, I descend to the light.
Hunt! Hunt!
Gladstone's aide staggers in, his long face haggard and alarmed. It is still night, but the false light of pre-dawn dimly touches the panes, the walls.
My God!
Says Hunt, and looks at me in awe. I see his gaze and look down at the bedclothes and nightshirt, soaked with bright arterial blood. My coughing has awakened him. My hemorrhage brought me home.
Hunt!
I gasp, and lie back on the pillows, too weak to raise an arm. The older man sits on the bed, clasps my shoulder, takes my hand. I know that he knows that I am a dying man.
Hunt, I whisper. Things to tell. Wonderful things.
He shushes me.
Later, Severn, he says. Rest. I'll get you cleaned up and you can tell me later. There's plenty of time.
I try to rise but succeed only in hanging onto his arm, my small fingers curled against his shoulder.
No,
I whisper, feeling the gurgling in my throat and hearing the gurgling in the fountain outside.
Not so much time. Not much at all. And I know at that instant, dying, that I am not the chosen vessel for the human UI, not the joining of AI and human spirit, not the chosen one at all. I am merely a poet, dying far from home.